Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey, a good Monday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody had a great weekend, a rainy, wet weekend it was. So you probably weren't outdoors much, if any, at all. Got a great show for you. We're ready to kick things off this week. Boy, what is there to talk about? Well, we'll figure it out. It is October. It is football season. The NBA is done. We know the NHL is done. We got a lot of things to get into. Darren McFarland down here in Rutherford County in Smyrna. Willie Donick is hanging out in East Nashville. Chase McCabe in parts unknown, while Elijah Campbell is back at the Wholesale Link Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Gentlemen, how we doing?
Great. Lots going on.
Fantastic.
Plenty to talk about.
Welcome back, Darren.
Yeah,
you
thanks.
Missed nothing
yes,
last week.
Welcome back.
Yeah, you guys didn't have a No, I did miss some stuff. It just wasn't a game to really talk about. Of course, we're used to that, right? The last 7 months, we haven't talked a lot about games. It's been more about other stuff. So you should have been well-equipped to handle last week. Just kind of goes with the theme of 2020.
It was 2020, all right. It was something. I was telling somebody, they asked me, like, what was last week like? Are you tired? I'm like, I'm exhausted mentally. Just because everything was happening, but hey, comes with the territory. I like breaking news and fast moving things like that. But welcome back. Hope you had a nice trip.
Like I said, didn't the last 7 months prepare us for fluid and
breaking
news and things changing hour by hour, segment by segment, minute by minute? I mean, that's kind of the roller coaster ride we've been on since the middle of March.
So absolutely.
I think
we were prepared.
Some of it's kind of fun. I mean, it's because it's different, right? I mean, it's crazy at times, but I don't know when this thing is ever going to return. Maybe this is the new normal. I don't know. But as of right now, speaking of fluid, as of right now at 10:03 a.m. Central Standard Time here on this October 12th. By the way, happy birthday, Maddox. Number 9 for him today.
Happy birthday, Maddox.
He was pumped today. I don't know why. I guess because you're a kid, right? You get pumped for birthdays.
I still get pumped for birthdays.
Yeah. Do you? Well, that's good because I didn't want to tell him that one day you'll stop getting pumped for birthdays.
So I think I might be at like the last one to get pumped for because my gauge has always been I'm not old until I hit the age that my dad was when I was born. Well, 34 would be that age. And so now I'm like, ugh.
Okay. Nah, you're still fine. I didn't have any issues in my 30s with any birthdays. None. I was perfectly fine with it.
Well, I've enjoyed my 30s more than my 20s. Even though my 20s weren't bad, things are a little more, you know, I have my stuff together a little bit more now.
A little bit more stable?
Yeah, a little more stable. That's the word.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I was with you by 30s definitely were better than my 20s. Not that I didn't have fun in my 20s, but I was kind of ready to be more stable in my 30s because I had fun in my 20s. Willie was already married with kids and, you know, playing pro ball and starting a radio career. So 20s really were kind of like our 30s for him, I think. He was more stable in his 20s. We were still kind of kicking it.
Willie might be more stable now on certain things.
We were kind of spring breaking constantly in our 20s.
Yeah. That's why there's balance on this show.
What I was going to say is, as of right now, speaking of fluid, as of right now, the game tomorrow is going to happen against Buffalo. I kind of feel like it's going to happen. I can't imagine today there's going to be some outrageous, you know, outbreak. I guess I shouldn't say that because I didn't go through what you guys went through last week. I was following from afar, but I just kind of feel like the NFL wants this game to happen. Unless there's just an absolute catastrophe today, that game's happening.
Well, did you see the schedule that they released yesterday from moving the Patriots game, moving everything around? It's like, all right, so this game goes here, and this game goes there, and this game goes back here. And
it's a long list. Quite a long list. Darren, I can't go as far as you in saying we know it's going to happen. I don't think you ever know until you know, until they take the field. But you mentioned something I think is increasingly something I think about, and that is how bad do they want this game to be played? Because yesterday's positive test, we don't know who it was. It wasn't a player. It was an odd series of events yesterday. Would we all agree that practice was off, practice was then back on, they didn't tell anybody practice was back on? It seemed like, you know, I guess I kind of threw up my hands and said, well, what are the pro-? I thought I maybe understood the protocols. I thought you had to have two straight days and then you have another positive test. Some stuff went on behind the scenes that still has been unexplained, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know anymore what the protocols are from the
league. I don't know
and
if they know.
I was going to say, I think the protocols are in pencil. I think that's what we've figured out. Well, right? We haven't seen them, but I think we've realized they're in pencil because they're kind of just erasing things and writing in new protocols. I mean, it's not in pen. It feels like it's not in pen.
No. Which it can't. I mean, I understand, but it is confusing, I think, is the best word when we go from, all right, 1 week they treat it this way, and then the next week they have two planes for the Patriots and they play the game on Monday night. Well, then they have more positive tests, and it's like, nope, canceling the game. The Titans have a positive test. We'll play Tuesday anyway. And it's almost, I guess, case by case, but it's very confusing and hard to keep up with.
I think what we've learned, I think, is the reason that this game is still on is because, right, they have the ability to trace, right, contact tracing and follow the steps of each individual. And I guess they're telling us this did not happen from, you know, within, I guess, the walls, within the roster, within staff, within – it was outside. Am I reading that correctly, or am I off here? Because I kind of feel like that's the reason they're pushing forward, because they're using that as, well, he got that at, you know, whatever.
Right.
Wherever. Not at St. Thomas Sports Park, not at around this person, not around that person. They weren't all having a secret meeting at this person's house. We have, you know, we have followed the steps of this person, and it was, you know, at Target. I'm just throwing something out there, obviously. Just saying something off the beaten path where they're like, okay, now isolate them, get them out of the picture, we move on. That's what it feels like.
I guess so. I hope that – I trust that they've done their due diligence and this is the right way to go. I still look at the situation the Titans are in and ask, you know, what is that game going to look like tomorrow night?
Oof.
In terms of the amount of practices they've been able to get in, all the time that they couldn't practice, the conditioning of the athletes. You know, I have to wonder if Demora Smith and the Players Association has any thought of, hey, is this team really in any condition to play a game? Have they been prepared well enough to be able to go out there and play? I mean, they can go out there and play, but what are – and I'm not even saying with the COVID part of it, obviously the number one priority, but number two is the physical well-being of the players, the risk of, you know, When you don't practice for a couple weeks, it's really hard to run out there and play an NFL game, right?
Well, sure. We're about to find out.
Right. I mean, this was the big theme of ours on Friday. I still contend if and when they play tomorrow. Now, I don't know how many. I guess they got a couple of guys back. They got Brinkley back, and they got DaQuan Jones back.
Which is huge.
Well, that's huge, but have they practiced? These are things. I guess you can dress them out, right? They're eligible to play. And then you have to turn around and play Sunday again if all goes smoothly. But I still contend it's got to be the most compromised roster for an NFL game that I can ever remember. I mean, I don't know what happened in 1940 or 1955 or something like that, but as long as I've been watching football, I can never remember a team that couldn't practice for almost 2 weeks, get I don't know how many, maybe three practices in, and then you go play a game, and then you got to come back and play the next Sunday. It's a lot to ask.
Willie, it's 2020, so I wouldn't be surprised if the Titans look like they haven't played in a month and get absolutely destroyed, and I wouldn't be surprised if they win 41-3.
But it's not just what happens tomorrow night, too. It's what is the after effect of that on Sunday's game and then on the rest. I mean, with all the injured players, I'm just throwing that out there. I'm not, and you know, there will be some around the league that say, well, they put themselves in this situation. But I think we all know that, you know, when you place blame on a team for people getting the virus, I think that's a slippery slope, man. I don't know if that's the right approach by the league to say it's all your fault. If you'd have followed the protocols, this wouldn't have happened. I just don't know that you can say that in this situation.
I'd be curious of Darren's thoughts on something you and I talked about on Friday of the injured players, the Adoree Jackson, A.J. Brown. If they were close to being available, would you still hold them off for a week? Just because you haven't had the practice time, just to be safe.
When you say you wouldn't be surprised if the Titans won 41-3, I would be willing to tell you I'd shave my head if they won 41-3.
Wow.
There's no chance
really?
Of that happening.
Mark that.
Zero. Okay, and I've never made that bet, as you guys know. I'll tell you right now, if they beat the Bills 41-3, considering these circumstances, I would be so shocked I'll shave my head. Okay, that's not happening. You wouldn't be surprised. I'd be floored. I'm floored right now. The line is only 3.5, considering.
Is that what it
the
is
circumstance.
Now?
It's 3.5. Buffalo favored. I thought it would be, honestly, more closer to a touchdown.
I wonder how the odds makers even have a line. Because as we sit here now, and I guess maybe we'll try to find out more from Teron, but how do we even know who's in for the Titans? We don't know about 15 players. You know, at least 8 or 10 that are critical players, we have no idea if they're in the game or not.
Well,
we have no idea how much they practice. We have no idea what they've been able to do in terms of running. Or just take Taylor Lewan. If you know, the first couple of days they couldn't go practice, but they could have the injured players go and get treatment. Then they took that off the table. Where have they been getting? I mean, I guess they've been going to other places to get treatment, but
they do have.
How do we know what their condition is?
AJ Brown is questionable. Taylor Lewan is questionable, according to the official injury.
There's a lot of light shed on that. Questionable. I think we knew that.
See, there you go. That's how they got the line right there. Those guys are questionable. They're fine. Right. Everything's good.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I don't know how you can really.
Their roster is questionable, so that cleared up nothing.
Yeah. Yep.
By the way, can we rule, like, do we know, so like Simmons and Fulton and those guys, they're out, correct?
I mean, they're still on the COVID list.
They're out. We know they're out. True.
Unless somehow they are activated today or tomorrow. I guess you could activate somebody tomorrow, right? Whether it's those guys specifically, I don't know. I guess the timeline is important of when they went on the COVID list. But there's so much up in the air. But I still don't know how you can put a line out on this game. And I realize you want to be fair to the Bills, but I also put myself in the Bills' shoes. I mean, what are they thinking? Sometimes it's harder to be that team, right? The Bills are supposed, they'll probably be expected to go win this game pretty easily.
Of course. Yeah.
And so if it's in the second half and it's 10-10 late in the third quarter, everybody's going to be, what's wrong with the Bills? How could they not beat this Titans? You know, so psychologically that could work to the Titans' advantage if they can get it to that point.
Mm.
But my point, Darren, on Friday to Chase was, I got to think about the whole season here. If I'm Mike Vrabel, I got to realize that in time, as they get through this, I'm going to strengthen my roster. I'm going to get to practice more, and this has been a really, really tough thing. So if I have to put myself at an even bigger disadvantage tomorrow so that I have a better chance of being closer to full strength on Sunday, I'd have to think about that. And I'm not saying you would bench your best players or anything. The guys that are healthy and ready to go, you go. But, like, you know, there's a lot happening here. You can't afford to lose other people because your roster is so depleted and you haven't practiced. Like, your offensive line hasn't practiced. So what if that means that – doesn't that increase the chances that, you know, somebody blows an assignment and, you know, you leave your quarterback unprotected? I don't know. I'm just thinking about all these things because there's never been a game played like this in these circumstances. That's what I'm concerned with.
Johnny on Twitter, yes, he was put out the gif of someone getting their head shaved. Yeah, if the Titans win 41-3, you bet. We'll figure out a way to video it.
Now, does it have
happen.
To be – what if it's 41-7?
No, it's 41-3. Chase said 41-3.
So the score has to be exact.
I'll say this. If they win 41-3, I'm missing the next show. I'm going to Vegas. I am placing all sorts of bets. I'm playing the lottery because clearly I'm on to something.
Well, you weren't on to something if you don't do anything about it. You know what I mean? Like, you have to do something. So you have to follow that up with now doing. You've got till tomorrow to figure out how to capitalize on that. If you capitalize on that, then truly, yes, maybe you need to take up residence in Vegas. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk with TD about this game that could happen tomorrow. And I think it's going to happen. Titans and Bills. We'll do that on the other side. Darren, Donica, Chase. ESPN 102.5, The Game.
On guard. I'll let you try my Wu-Tang style.
Thanks, Coach Stack. Sad news in the baseball world. Man, a guy I grew up watching, growing up in Lexington, Kentucky. I used to go to Riverfront all the time to see Reds games. A Hall of Famer, second baseman, Joe Morgan, has died at 77. Man, those 70s Reds teams, the big red machine. Man, they were awesome. And I got to see them in person. Spent many, many days and nights at Riverfront watching the great Joe Morgan play baseball. And may he rest in peace. Dang it. I hated to see that during the break. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, we welcome in Teron Davenport, NFL Nation reporter for ESPN and ESPN.com. He covers the Titans. Talking with TD is his podcast. Also, Nate and TD heard Friday nights here on ESPN 102.5, The Game. We were talking in the last segment, do we have any clue because of the circumstances of what's been going on in yesterday's practice, no practice, oh, wait a minute, they had practice. Do we have any clue who's going to be in the lineup, who's in, who's out for tomorrow?
Yeah, well, first, welcome back, Darren.
Thank you.
Man, I hate to hear the news about Joe Morgan. I remember watching him on Tuesday Night Baseball and Sunday Night Baseball, man, that's really and I'm old enough to have watched him play, so
yeah.
Hate to hear that, man. Wish his family the best, so definitely wanted to mention that. As for the lineup,
by the way, Teron, we all did that swing out in our backyard, didn't we?
Everybody.
All mocked that.
Everybody.
We all did that.
No doubt.
One of the first. One of the first that I can ever remember imitating that move. Like, if you were playing in a backyard game, you did it.
I wasn't a lefty,
every single
and I
person.
Still did it. Yep.
Yeah. It's so crazy how, you know, regardless, and that's the beauty of sports. I want to mention that because regardless of ethnic background, financial status, where you lived, everybody had certain things that were just exactly the same, you know. So that's pretty funny that you mentioned that because it's the truth, man. Mm-hmm. As far as this lineup, you know, it's going to be interesting how they go about doing this, especially from the receiver position. We know A.J. Brown was a full participant, and he's questionable. So that's going to be something that a lot of people are going to be hopeful he could get in the lineup. So that's one. But really it's going to come down to Nick Westbrook and Kenny, as well as Cody Hollister, and there's a good chance that Chester Rogers could get the call up. So those are some guys there. Good news for the Titans having Daquan Jones and Bo Brinkley. Now the long snapper situation is resolved once again, and they got that same battery, so they'll be good there. But other than that, I mean, there's still a lot of questions. There's still time to bring other guys back, but I just don't see how any of the other ones would return from the reserve COVID list.
Mm. If there's like no Simmons and no Fulton, I mean, we know there's some really critical guys that could be absolutely out of this lineup. Michael Pruitt and Lossing Game. And I mean, if they don't have these guys, how much does that truly impact them against this undefeated Buffalo team?
I think the biggest, Jeffrey Simmons is obviously the biggest. He's, in my opinion, the defensive MVP to this point, and you guys know that's saying a lot for me not to say Kevin Byard is, but at the same time, I think really Kyrie Blossingame, not having him is a tremendous loss in a game like this. Because when you're going against an offense like that, that scores so many points, you want to have that ball control. You want to keep the ball out of their hands. And not having your fullback to lead the way, that makes it a bit tougher for the running game. But I'm sure they'll still go through and run the football as much as they normally do. But it's just it may not be as effective not having that lead blocker to run some of those plays that they like to run. So that's a major loss. It's going to be tough, man. This Bills team is outstanding. I probably this season I had the most fun going back and watching their games because – just that offense is ridiculous, and Josh Allen is playing tremendous football, so they have to keep the ball out of their hands. And when you look at the Bills' defense and just their mantra overall, that's a physical bully-type team, and that's what the Titans are. So you want to be able to be a bully to the bully early on, and that's something that they have to make sure they do, especially coming out the box after not having played for so long.
When you mentioned watching their games, what changed for Josh Allen? Because I think everybody has had question marks about him, rightfully so, but he's taken that next step. I mean, yes, they acquire Stephon Diggs, who's a big-time target for him, big weapon for him. They've got some running backs in Moss and Singletary. But what really changed? Why is Josh Allen so much better this year than he's been thus far in his career?
I think a lot of it has to do with the same things that changed within Tannehill. You see a more accurate quarterback. You see a more confident quarterback. And with that confidence, that's kind of what has led to the accuracy. But most importantly, you see the marriage, a perfect marriage of offensive coordinator and quarterback. And if you watch the Bills games, they go empty an awful lot. And this is what Josh Allen was an air raid type of guy, you know, wide open offense at Wyoming. So he's back in his element, so he's comfortable. And then the accuracy, you really see that, especially with those crossing routes, which I outlined in my whiteboard Wednesday. I'll repost that, as a matter of fact, so everyone can check that out once again. But it's just the offensive coordinator, Brian Daboll, is putting his guy in position to just make plays, and his accuracy has improved. And you see that also with Stephon Diggs. You know, go back and watch the Raiders game. Late in that game, he threw a pass to Diggs, and it was a confident pass, and it was confident in that he knew his guy would go up and get the ball regardless of who was around him. Diggs went up over Eric Harris, caught the football, stood over him afterwards, and then they ended up scoring. And those are the type of things that, you know, a quarterback and receiver, and then most importantly, a coordinator. It's just that trio right there is operating at peak performance. And then you have Cole Beasley doing what he does, you know, against zone, finding those holes and things like that, and those deep over routes by John Brown. It's that offense is a lot of fun to watch, and they're firing at all cylinders.
Speaking with Teron Davenport, we all wondered, no preseason, weird offseason, how would this affect teams? Well, yeah, the games have been close, but the Titans are undefeated. And so they've been, you know, moving right along. But at some point, you would think this is going to catch up to them, right? I mean, all this time off and all the circumstances where they've had to talk about a lot of things other than football here the last couple of weeks. And now you play this Buffalo team. Is it, I mean, what could we possibly expect to see from the Titans in such little time they've been together over the last 2 weeks? How do you think it's going to look tomorrow night if indeed they play?
I think it's going to look good for them because, well, let me not say good. I think it's going to look very energetic for them. And you could have high energy and sometimes and not end up having a positive outcome. But I think when you have these guys that, you know, their bodies, their minds are used to being able to go out and play a game each and every week, not being able to do that, you know, over the last period of time, I think that's going to lead to a lot of release, a lot of frustration, you know, just being put out there. So I definitely think they're going to come out very energetic, and it's going to be – they have to have a fast start. I'll put it that way, you know, and that energy that they come out there with is going to have to be channeled, obviously, in the right direction. I think they're going to play well, though. I think they're going to play well. I don't know about win the game, but I think they're going to play well defensively. I guarantee you, you're going to see more swarming to the football and those type of things that they needed to do over the last couple of games. So they should be in good shape. But winning this game is going to be very difficult against a really good Bills team.
Teron Davenport is with us from ESPN. We're talking about the Titans situation. So, Teron, can you help us get through the events of yesterday? I mean, we all saw, it's part of our morning routine now, what's the story with the test? So there's one test. It's not a player. The facility is shut down. And then later we find out they were able to get clearance to practice. So take us through that. And can you fill in the gaps as to what happened between the time that the test comes out, they close it down, and then later in the day getting the clearance to practice?
Yeah, well, I mean, the test came out, and I would imagine there was back and forth between the league and the team, and it was determined that they could practice, but they would have to be outdoors, and they would have to have the coach that tested positive isolated, and that's how they were going to be able to do it. I was surprised when I saw Tom Pelissero's report that it happened, and collectively the local media we discussed it, and I don't think it was exactly a good look for that, because we were told there weren't going to be any activities, no media activities, and the facility was shut down. So I don't think it was the best look for us to be told that. And then a bit later, NFL media comes out that there was a practice. So that's something that, you know, again, the local media we discussed, Titans PR did a really good job of sending us a message, you know, a statement. And that's how we found out for sure that the practice happened. So it was a practice that was an hour and 45 minutes. And again, it was outside. It wasn't in their indoor facility. And, you know, it's something that they needed to do if they were going to play today or tomorrow, excuse me. But I just, again, it wasn't the best look for that to come from NFL media and not have any of us local reporters know about it.
I agree. It's not a good look. And what was their explanation for the lack of transparency? Why couldn't they come out and say, we've been cleared to practice and here's when the practice is going to be?
There was no explanation, to be honest. I personally didn't reach out to the team. We have our local PFWA chapter, and the president and vice president reached out to the team, and they got everything except for an actual explanation. They got the statement for us, and that's pretty much how it transpired.
You played your share of football, Teron. try to put yourself in the shoes of any of the players. I agree with you that you're going to see if they go out there and they suit up and they get to play, the enthusiasm at the beginning of the game, the emotions, that's going to be there. But when you have barely practiced, I mean, think about even these practices, right? Today's practice is going to be, if it's like it normally is before a game, it's a walkthrough, right? Uh-huh. Yesterday's practice was haphazardly thrown together, didn't even know if it was on. You go in there, and then what did they have? Maybe one practice before that that was at all normal. That's over 2 weeks we're talking here. That's very limited time together on the field. So forget about just the precision of going through the drills together as a team, but also just, I don't know what each and every player was able to do away from the facility. Is that a team that's in any condition really to play a game? I just wonder what the Players Association thinks about that. And how would you feel if you're a player being thrown into that on Tuesday night? Are you really in a condition to play? I mean, forget about how much you love to play and everything like that, but are you really prepared to do your job?
I don't think you are 100% prepared, but it's funny you mentioned, does the NFLPA really care or feel that they're in a position to be? I guess they do, and that they haven't given any pushback to this game going on Tuesday. So that whole situation in itself is interesting, but I mean, I don't think that you're 100% ready to go because your preparation is different and your schedule has been knocked off course. So that can be somewhat of an obstacle. But at the end of the day, you have to stay ready so you don't have to get ready, you know, to use that phrase. And it's just, I think you're going to see a lot of players during that game working into that position of being fully ready to go. So it could end up being a slow start for them, and that's why I said it's so important to have a solid start, because you can't let this team jump out ahead of you early, and that's something that could happen if you're not ready to go as much as you would normally be, just from a physical standpoint, being able to go out there and run around and actually execute the techniques that are being taught. Because that's another thing with the Titans, you know, they do a really good job of watching the team that they're going to play and honing in on certain things, like whether it be ball security, whether it be knocking the ball out, whether it be ball disruption, different things and different techniques that they have to really apply to that game. That's something that you see them working on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday is just basically not that, but, you know, those are things it kind of gives the Titans, that's one of the ways that they stay so well prepared. So not being able to actually do that is definitely going to hinder them some, but at the end of the day, you can't make excuses, and they won't make excuses. They're going to go out there and play to their best.
We're talking to Teron Davenport. He is the Titans NFL Nation reporter for ESPN and the co-host of Nate and TD Talk and the Talkin' with TD podcast here on the Game Nashville. We talked about some of the, you know, the roster, what's the roster going to look like, and a position that I think we've all agreed has been very important is the long snapper. You brought up Bo Brinkley earlier. He's going to be back in the lineup, but just how from a battery standpoint of the kicker and the holder and the long snapper, how important it is that they're not going to miss him, that he's going to be able to play.
Well, it's huge, and the reason why it's huge, in my opinion, is when's the last time you had to worry about the snap getting to the holder and the holder getting the ball down? I can't recall ever ever hearing fans worry about that, or ever me watching it and saying, hey, you know what, this might not go right, you know? And the same thing on the punt side of things, you know, that relay right there is it's money. So that's huge, not having that change, especially in a week where so much else has changed. That's one thing that you absolutely don't have to worry about. So that's the major factor in having Bo Brinkley back.
No matter what really happens with this game, because it's so unique, but when you look at the AFC South as a whole, what you have seen out of the other three teams over the last few weeks. We know Houston made a coaching change, moved on from Bill O'Brien. The Texans finally got their first win. Jacksonville, they are what they are. The Colts, it seems to be a little hot and cold, and maybe Cleveland is actually for real this year. But what do you see from the AFC South that makes you think, okay, no matter what, the Titans are still in control of this division?
Well, the division really comes down to a two-team race, and it's the Colts and the Titans. I would find it hard to imagine the Texans, you know, rebounding and being in position to, you know, have something to do with the division title. The Colts are a good team. That defense is outstanding, but it's just Phillip Rivers back there. You never know when he's going to implode and make some of the ridiculous throws that he did in yesterday's game. So you look at all that. The Titans, I think, are the most complete team. They don't turn the football over often. Their kicking game is actually elevated to probably the best in the division. And then they run the football well. So everything that they do is all really good, especially down the stretch. That's their style of play, as I've said before, is a pack-and-play style where you could go on the road and you could be successful. You could take a team out of the game early and just keep hammering them. And that's why I think they have a good amount of control in this division. But these are divisional games. You know that Texans, Colts, everything, Titans, Jaguars, it's always a close matchup. It's always, these teams know each other really well. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Titans drop one of those games, but I still think that they are the best team in the division.
Now, one more that's not AFC South or Titans related. I'm just curious of your opinion. We saw Dak Prescott in the injury he suffered yesterday. Do you think that the money's still going to be there for him, or does this obviously hurt his chances of a long-term deal? I mean, when you see injuries like this, you never know what the recovery is going to be, what it's going to look like when they come back. Alex Smith, a tremendous story, him playing yesterday after being out for 2 years. But did Dak make a mistake by not taking the deal when it was offered to him?
No, I don't think he made a mistake. I mean, he gambled on himself, and I don't think the money is going to be there from the Cowboys. I think he's going to get probably a one-year deal coming off of this, and he's just going to have to not earn it because he's already earned it. He's just going to have to prove that he could fully recover from the injury that he had, and it's a shame. And this is why I always shake my head when, you know, these fans or whoever make the comments of, oh, this player is being greedy, just take the tag and you know, be happy with it. No, you don't do that. You try to get the money that you deserve, especially in Dak's case where that team had Tony Romo with a bad back and they were in a bad situation, and he stepped up and he saved not only the day, he saved the years for them. And I really think that he should be rewarded for that. And it's ridiculous that, you know, a lot of these other quarterbacks got the money that they got and Dak didn't, because in my book, he's just as good as Carson Wentz. You know, so there's no reason Wentz should get 118 or 128, whatever he got, and Dak not get anything. You know, so it's trash in my opinion. But I just, for Dak's sake, I hope the recovery goes well, and, you know, you want to see him come back and play the game the way that he does. And, you know, it's unfortunate that he had that injury on a play where he was sacrificing himself on a first down. It wasn't like it was third and one and he was diving to get that first down. It was first down. He could have easily stepped out of bounds, but he wanted to get extra yards, and, you know, that happened. And it's just unfortunate. And I think when you look and you see how the players, you know, responded on both teams, and then seeing Jason Garrett come off the Giants bench and go over to him, that was like, that really lets you know the respect that he commands and that he gets around the league.
Completely agree with you on that. Teron Davenport, ESPN, hey, we appreciate it as always, and we will see what happens tomorrow night.
Yeah, for sure, man. I appreciate you guys. Take care.
Absolutely. TD, talking with TD, You'll hear that on Wednesdays and Nate and TD Fridays at 6 here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. When we come back, we'll get more into the NFL and this game, should it be played tomorrow night. That's next. Darren Donican Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
We've got your coverage for MLB playoffs. Yeah, championship series presented by Gary Forsacker right here on ESPN. The game Nashville tonight on 94.9. Coverage of game one. NLCS, Braves, and Dodgers. Chase's beloved Braves.
Go Bravos.
7 p.m. start time. Last night, the Rays took game one against the Astros. So they take a 1-0 lead in the best of seven series now in these championship series. So Braves, Dodgers, what's your level of confidence?
I'm pretty confident, actually.
Pretty confident.
Yeah,
which is what on a scale of 1 to 10?
I'm in a 7.
7, okay.
Yeah, I would say I'm in a 7. After what I needed to see was, could this, because no offense Elijah, the Reds, I mean it was two games. So getting into and I thought the Marlins would put up a bigger fight than they did. The bats obviously got going for the Braves, but the pitching was solid. Freed was a little shaky in game one. I think he gets over that and rebounds tonight. But I liked what I saw from Anderson. Obviously, Kyle Wright had a nice out and got himself in a couple of jams and then got himself out. So I feel much better about the starting pitching than I really have all year with the Braves. I know it's not going to be easy. The Dodgers are a very good team. They have a lineup and they have some pretty good pitching as well, but I feel confident in the Braves that they're going to make it back to the World Series.
The biggest issue, I think, for the Braves, and I think that they're coming in with their confidence about as high as you could expect it to be, is they have beaten two mediocre teams. I mean, no offense to the Reds and the Marlins, but those are great stories. You know, the Reds almost underachieved and bounced back to make it. The Marlins, of course, came completely out of nowhere, and it was a great story. But the difference between the Reds, the Marlins, and the Dodgers is huge. So I look at Kyle Wright and the challenge of getting the Dodgers out for 4 or 5 innings, which is really all he's going to be expected to do. Nobody will expect him to go 6 innings. That's going to be a great challenge for him. And even for Ian Anderson, Max Fried is a little bit more seasoned. I think you know what to expect a little bit more from him. But even he, against a lineup like the Dodgers, could have a rough day. I think the Dodgers certainly have some guys in the starting staff that aren't world beaters, right? It's not like they have a deep four-man starting staff that's all going to go 7 innings. It's just being done so differently now. It's just this, you throw 10 pitchers out there, you know, as many as 6 or 7 on one night, and everybody's got to do their thing. That's how the Rays, I mean, the Rays were unbelievable last night, and they keep doing it. They keep bringing out guys that you don't know who these guys are. But they all get the job done.
It's like the movie Major League. Every time they trot somebody out, it's like,
yeah.
Who is this guy?
Yeah. But they've been doing it all
and
year
then
with
hits
those
a home
guys.
Run.
They've been doing it for the last 2 years with that type
it's
of
unbelievable.
Player.
Which is, yet again, why you do wonder why these teams keep paying these big, big bucks for these players. And right now, what proof is there that that works?
Yeah. I mean, if they win the World Series based on this formula, I think you could see, you know, other teams follow. But I'm banking on playoff Clayton Kershaw. So I'm hoping that helps the Braves out. And the bats can't get cold. I mean, the bats have to keep swinging like they have been, and it's not just Acuna or Freeman or Ozuna. I mean, you've had Swanson that's had some clutch hits. I mean, Duvall. Travis d'Arnaud, former Met, and Ray. He's been tremendous, so it's up and down the lineup for them, but they got to keep it going. I mean,
here's the other thing that I'm looking at, Chase, is the Dodgers – I think going into the season had only one weakness, and right now it's a big issue, and that is Kenley Jansen is not the same. Each year goes by, he's got a little more wear and tear. He is beatable. In fact, we don't even know if he is going to get the chance to close the first save opportunity. Right? As we sit here today, are we sure? I mean, I think the smart money is on they'll go with somebody else to try to close it, which is an issue, especially if that first person, whether it's Joe Kelly or Gratterall or any of these guys, they got a ton of really good arms. But as we know, there's a mental thing about closing a game out. And so that could be the Braves' best chance if they can exploit that at some point in the series. Because you know what kind of mental snowball that happens. Like, oh my gosh, who's going to throw the ninth inning? You know, that it just creates an anxiety throughout the whole dugout, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And so I think that's certainly going to be a factor, but you got to get to that point. That you face that. So we'll see. Game one probably tells us a lot of what this series is going to look like. I know both teams are amped up, and I'm amped up. That's exactly what I'll be watching tonight. Won't see much of Monday Night Football.
Do you think Ryan Porth is rooting for the Astros? Because we know how big of a Dusty Baker fan that he is. Is it weird? Astros, Dusty Baker, they lose Garrett Cole to the Yankees in the offseason. They lose Justin Verlander, and here they are in the American League Championship Series. Isn't that funny? So I guess Ryan's probably rooting for the Astros because we know he's a big Dusty Baker fan. But hey,
I would love to know who Ryan's
the Reds,
for.
We know, are better off without Dusty Baker. There's no doubt about it. The last 7 years, they've been better off without Dusty.
And, of course, another – question is anybody rooting for the Astros outside of the Astros fans?
No. I would say the Rays have more fans than they've ever had since they've been in existence.
Let's see. Right. I'm waiting for Kathleen to text in and say, go Astros.
Oh, you know she is. You know she's there for the Astros.
Anytime they're mentioned, that comes through.
But anybody who's not a fan of either team, no one's rooting for the Astros. That's the point.
No.
If you're an Astros fan, of course you're rooting for the Astros. But anybody outside of that, you now are rooting for Tampa.
I'd love to know, like, how many diehard, lifelong Astros fans jumped ship when they found out about it. Because you know there were some. Now, there are some that no matter what they do, they're going to, like Kathleen, they're gonna be a fan no matter what. But ones that were like, man, I just can't condone cheating and what they did. I'm going to go find another team. Because you know there were some.
Maybe.
Are there, though? Like, the Astros don't have, like, the fan base of the Cowboys or the Yankees or a team or the Packers who have, for one reason or another, kind of fans sprinkled across the country. The Astros are not like that, right? I don't think there's just, like, somebody who's not connected with Houston or didn't grow up rooting for them that just roots for them because. Yeah. So I don't know that they lose. Like, you'd have to really be a person of principle to be a lifelong Astros fan to just ditch them. Now, I don't think that's going to happen. I think you find ways to forgive them, and you hope it never happens again.
Yep. Ryan Porth sending us a gif of Let's Go Rays. Yeah.
And saying that they're the only team remaining worth rooting for.
And they're so different, the Astros, when you see them roll out there. There's a reason they were 29-31. Now you don't have Zach Greinke. Or if you do, I mean, I don't even know what they've said in the last day or two, but he's not himself. He has said, my arm is shot.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He didn't last very long in his last outing. There was some question whether he could even pitch. We know they don't have Verlander. We know they don't have Cole. It's just a very different look. When they run these guys out, there's a little bit of who's this guy when the Astros run the pitchers out there, right? Their lineup looks the same, but the pitchers are like, who? And they're talented, but they haven't been through this.
If you missed in the first hour and you didn't hear, baseball legend Joe Morgan has passed away. Man, just remember him with those, you know, the big red machine. Whoo, 10 All-Star appearances, 2-time World Series champ, 2-time NL MVP, 5-time Gold Glove winner, of course, Hall of Famer. We all did his swing. You didn't have to be a left-hander. You didn't have to swing left-handed to get out there and do, you know, your impersonation of Joe Morgan at the plate. I don't even know what he called that. What do we call that? The flapping your arms like
elbow
a, like
flap?
A chicken? Elbow
just
flap?
Just the back
chicken.
Elbow. Yeah.
Yeah. But we all did that. We all did that as kids. You know, out in the streets, playing ball, in the backyard. We all, you know, our impersonation of Joe Morgan at the plate. It was so 77 years old and very, very sad to hear his passing. We'll come back. We'll talk about this Titans-Bills game. One thing to think about, have they even said today what today is? Has there been any, if I missed a press release or an email on what is today? Are they practicing? Are they doing press conferences? Is there anything
they're
on
practicing,
the Titans front?
But we don't know what the media available. And you heard Teron's answer yesterday. Teron is the guy that covers them every day. And he, along with everybody else that covers the team, had no idea that they practiced yesterday until after the fact.
Yeah. We'll come back. We'll start the second hour with that next on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.